You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 820 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning. Welcome to Catholic Community of Faith, and I'm Father Greg Sackowitz, pastor of St. Mary of the Woods on Chicago's Northwest Side, and this is Relevant Radio, 820 a.m. in Chicago on this beautiful, hot Monday, July day. I realize this is the special version of Catholic Schools Today. It's this is Catholic Schools Today, part of Catholic Community of Faith, but I've got a great one-liner. I've got a calendar, a sports calendar. People know my sports background, and always gives a comment, a quote. This one was for this weekend. Kurt Simmons, who pitched in the 50s and 60s in baseball, said this about Henry Aaron: trying to throw a fastball by Hank Aaron is like trying to sneak a sunrise past a rooster. Just that line just hit me. A great way to begin our Monday morning here on Catholic Schools Today. We have a room full of guests here, and let me introduce it this way by saying that 8 teachers from the Archdiocese of Chicago Catholic Schools were awarded a total of $70,000 from BP, the company's A-plus for Energy program. The awards are for creative classroom, after-school, extracurricular, or summer activities involving energy education and conservation. And our guests include, got everybody right here, is that we have Dan Forsch, Director of Data and Research for the Office of Catholic Schools for the Archdiocese of Chicago, who was a grant reviewer. We also have with us Margaret Laney, Manager of External Affairs of BP. And we have 3 out of the 8 grant recipients. We have Cheryl Tolish of Infant Jesus of Prague School in Flossmoor, another grant recipient, Marcus McKinley of Fenwick High School in Oak Park, and last but not least, Nancy Ramig of St. Michael School in Orland Park. To all our group, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
In unison, good morning. And well, welcome to Catholic Schools Today. And maybe the first question I have for Margaret Laney, Manager of External Affairs of BP. Maybe for our listeners, the name BP, mm-hmm. but there is a history there before that. What was it, Margaret?
Well, most people in this area are very familiar, if they've lived here for a while, with Amoco Production Company or Standard Oil Company of Indiana, and that's one of the heritage companies of BP. Following a number of different mergers of companies in the last few years, the company's new name and name going forward is BP, includes a number of different mergers: ARCO, Amoco, Sohio, British Petroleum, but in this area, we have about 4,000 employees living and working in this area, still very active in this community with several operations. And and programs like this, of course, we're trying to be engaged in the community as well.
Now, you had mentioned to me off the air before we got on the air, and that is $1 million was granted in the Chicagoland area through 6 counties, of which $70,000 awarded to 8 teachers the Archdiocese of Chicago. Maybe just briefly, what is the history of this remarkable expenditure of money as a way to ask people to step forward in the area of conservation and energy?
Well, BP has a focus for its community investment and engagement in 3 areas primarily, and they're energy, education, and enterprise development. There are ways that we think we can contribute back to the community. About 4 years ago in California, there were a number of issues facing that state related to energy. If you'll remember, the grids went down over the summer several years ago, and we realized that energy education was really something that was very important there. We piloted the program in California, then took it to Texas, and have grown the program this year into 8 different states and or communities, and Chicago is one of the largest communities, with $1 million being spent here in a program that's designed by teachers for teachers so that they can present innovative education programs on energy and conservation for their students.
And maybe along those lines, Marcus McKinley of Fenwick High School here in Oak Park, You are a recipient winner, so congratulations to Marcus, to Cheryl, to Nancy, and the other five from the Archdiocese of Chicago. Now, how did you get involved? What did you specifically do to make you a recipient winner?
Well, I came up with an idea for an energy conservation project a couple of years ago. And this year I thought I would start searching for a way to get funds for this. And just in our faculty mailroom, I saw the brochure for the BP program. And so I wrote a grant proposal explaining what I wanted to do and what the outcomes of this project would be. And put it in and got the grant.
How long did it take you to write the whole grant proposal?
Oh, from beginning to end this year, probably 2 months.
Okay, and then Cheryl, Cheryl, your story. How did you get here today?
Okay.
I don't mean historically, but just in terms of this your grant proposal.
Okay, so you didn't want to know that I took the train.
Exactly.
Okay, my experience with grants goes back several years. I'm a part-time teacher at Infant Jesus of Prague, and part of my responsibilities outside of the classroom include writing grant applications and award applications. And I have applied in past years for the BP Leader Award, which was not specifically designed for schools alone. And while I had a lot of positive feedback, we were never fortunate enough to get an award from them. But when this opportunity came up, it was specifically designed for schools, and I could see that, that what we had to offer was much more aligned with what they were suggesting. And so I was on their mailing list. We had the flyers in our school as well. Our teachers were very excited about it. Our principal was very responsive to it, and so I designed a program, and we went with it.
Now, what was your design program?
Okay, my program is called Solar or Wind, The Great Debate, and it's a school-wide program, preschool through eighth grade, and it's a cross-curricular immersion into the whole energy concept. Our younger students will learn songs and write poetry and draw pictures. Every student from preschool through eighth grade will do experimentation.
Solar or wind.
Right. And the premise is that our principal is going to tell the kids that we want to incorporate renewable energy into our school system, but he's not sure if wind or solar would be the better way to go. So they're going to research both programs, and the kids will make a suggestion to our principal, and then we would like to apply for the sustainable grant next year and perhaps put in some solar wind panels into the building.
And Nancy Raymond of St. Michael's School in Orland Park, your grant proposal.
Our grant proposal is based on solar energy. We're going to study solar energy during the year, starting in the fall by making connections with community partners, talking about how they use energy, what efficiency measures they use, and how they've made their buildings or their resources more energy efficient. Then the students are going to start studying solar energy in our junior high. This is for our 7th and 8th grade students. They'll be working with solar energy, studying it historically, how it's developed, make their own solar car kits, and then ultimately have a solar energy day expo fair where they bring in the community partners, parents, families, friends, and educate the community about what we've learned.
And then Dan Forst, last but not least, you are involved as the Director of Data and Research for the Office of Catholic Schools here in the Archdiocese of Chicago. You were a grant reviewer. So how many proposals were put before your committee?
I would think, was it about 400 or?
So 400, yeah, now hold it, 400 teachers of the Archdiocese of Chicago?
No. I don't know how many came from the Archdiocese per se. In fact, if there was a proposal that came from the Archdiocese, I disqualified myself because I would have an interest in supporting that. So so I'm not sure how many came from the Archdiocese.
Part of your job was to be a grant reviewer, narrow down the number, and then we have our winners today.
That's correct.
Okay, we're going to take a break here on Catholic Schools Today. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz with a cast of thousands here on Relevant Radio, 820 AM in Chicago. Our number is 312-751-1979, 312-751-1979. Maybe a question you may have for one of our guests regarding solar, energy, wind, life, BP. We'll stay with us. We'll be back after a break, and do not touch that dial.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son isn't a number. The student-teacher ratio is 18-1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Welcome back to Catholic School. Today I'm Father Greg Stacklitz here on Relevant Radio 820 AM in Chicago. Again, our phone number is 312-751-1979. And again, our topic is that eight teachers from the Archdiocese of Chicago Catholic Schools were awarded a total of $70,000 from BP to the company's A-plus for Energy program. And Dan Forrest, you're connected with the Archdiocese of Chicago with Catholic Schools Data and Research. Why the connection with the Catholic schools of the Archdiocese of Chicago and BP? What's the advantages? Why?
Well, I think BP was looking for an inclusive set of schools to participate in the program, and they sought out representation from our office, and somehow word got to me, and I let them know that I would be more than happy to participate in the judging.
I think it's a Margaret. Jump
well,
right in.
I just want to compliment, actually, the Archdiocese of Chicago, the school system. Not all school systems are supportive of teachers going out and applying for grants as this. And so as a result, quite frankly, many grants go unutilized or underutilized. When we put out this program, and again, it was designed by teachers and for teachers, what we found, and when we came to Chicago and said, we're thinking about implementing it here, the Archdiocese of Chicago, as well as the Archdiocese of Joliet, said, we love this. We want to provide more resources for our teachers and for our classrooms. And so they were actually fostering innovation. And I think that was really a critical part of why we had eight great teachers and great programs from the Archdiocese.
So when you talk about the whole area of energy conservation, the environment, you know, I've been a bird watcher since I was 10 years old. My whole life was sports. All I did was play basketball, football, baseball, floor hockey. But at the age of 10, I had a real love for birds. I would love to go into nature, identify different species. And I've noticed over the last 44 years, I don't bird watch as much as I did, but there's no doubt there's been a change in the environment. Much fewer and fewer neotropics, migratory birds, for different reasons. So I'm not into the trees. I love trees and the flowing water. But this whole area, since I was 10 years old, I have such a profound love of nature and the gifts of God. So maybe for one of our teachers this morning, for Nancy, Cheryl, or Marcus, you are dealing with young people, both grammar school and high school level. What you have received, what do you hope and pray the impact will be upon your students, who on two levels you can say they are the future of our world, but also they have an important role to play today as a fourth grader, as a freshman. So what do you hope and pray as an effect upon your receiving the grant upon your children, young people?
I think at St. Michael's School, we were talking with the students when we first started talking about solar energy, and their excitement grew. There was a Chicago Tribune article in April about the use of compact fluorescent lighting. And they started saying, we can do this. We can make changes. We can affect our world and our future. What can we do? And we collectively started thinking about what kinds of changes they can make. And that kind of thought is exciting, because any change that they do changes, as I said earlier, it's a ripple effect. A little change today will go forward and maybe impact their family, maybe impact their community. Maybe they will continue and study as a scientist and make a difference.
Marcus, let me just jump to a high school level. When I was at Notre Dame High School for Boys, in fact, one of the recipient winners, the teacher is from Notre Dame, in the late 60s, early 70s, I have to admit, we didn't talk about environment that much. Now, you did have that book, I think was 1968,
Silent Spring
right.
by Rachel Carson.
Right.
So I would have been a freshman, so it was just coming in. What do you notice with the young people today, and what do you hope your award effect will have upon the young people?
Well, as you know, I'm an environmental science teacher, and so my students in that particular class are very concerned about the environment. We often talk about the problems that occurred in the 60s and 70s and how the issues then were much more noticeable. The garbage on the beaches.
DDT.
The conditions of the waterways around the Chicago area was very obvious. Problems today are a little more hidden. Grasping something like global warming and other issues that are harder to see, sometimes very difficult. There's a lot of information out there now. Take the issue of global warming, for example. So much has been written, so much on TV, and of course The Inconvenient Truth with the Academy Award nomination and win this year has brought that into the forefront. They really want to know what's going on because there's a lot of opinion out there, and they'd like to search for the truth. I see them struggling with issues. And
so now, Marcus, you are an environmentalist in terms of being – you teach it. Do you really find among the young people a majority, a few, who are interested regarding the environment, or do you find among young people a profound interest in this area?
I would say that the majority of students have an interest and a profound interest in it. Of course, the environment is something that everybody loves and has some connection to. And for there to be so much information that that environment is threatened now, I think that is promoting it as a topic that, that students want to talk about, that they want to delve further
Cheryl,
into.
Cheryl, what about the young people in your classrooms?
Okay, at our school, like everywhere, I mean, kids love to be outside, and if the environment is dirty or messy or uncomfortable for whatever reason, you know, they are personally impacted by that. I also think that, that kids, especially the younger ones, can do concrete things that change habits. And so one of the aspects of our program is to have an age-appropriate home energy audit for every child to do at home as well as in our school.
Now, give an example, Cheryl. You mean okay. age-appropriate something to do at home.
Okay. We have a I did a lot of research on the internet for this, this grant, and that's an exceptional resource. And they, one of the things that I printed up was, just kind of like a list of questions for a preschooler or a kindergartner to bring home and say to mom and dad, let's go into this room and let's look at where energy is used. Okay. Okay. We've got the TV that's plugged in and we've got the fan that's going or the electric, the air conditioner is on and, does this all have to be on right now? Okay, is there something that we can do in a concrete way? If we leave the room, can we turn the light off? Specific things like that that little kids can do. And if we can establish habits at 4, 5, and 6, they will be habits when they're 35, 36, 37.
Sure, you're talking in some ways consciousness raising. You know, one thing that really gripes me, and I've almost stopped the car a few times, you're driving along, someone rolls down the window and empties their ashtray at 50 miles an hour, and I think myself, would you do this in your living room? I mean, when you think about it, or I saw somebody throw a bottle out the window, and when shattering on the street, I'm thinking to myself, what are we doing to our environment, our home? And then somehow for all of you, this profoundly connects with God because God created this world, and we are stewards of God's creation, and we're taking care of God's home. I think in some ways, yes. In many ways, no. I do want a little bit later on get in the whole area of global warming, which, wow, I mean, when people say to me it doesn't exist, I shake my head. I know there's two camps on that. We're going to go to a break here on Catholic Schools Today. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz, and we have a cast of thousands in the studio. Our number is 312-751-1979, 312-751-1979. If you want to join the conversation here regarding eight teachers from the Archdiocese, recipients of a BP awards totaling $70,000. Stay with us and do not touch that dial.
Living a Christian life in a secular world is a challenge. The Young Adult Ministry Office invites all young adults to meet that challenge with Theology on Tap, a summer speaker and discussion series.
Theology on Tap connects people college age and in their 20s and 30s, married and single, for a great faith-filled conversation. Theology on Tap has been serving the finest in speakers, conversation, and theology for 27 years, addressing key elements of our Catholic faith.
Topics include spirituality, sexuality, social justice, and service. We'll discuss prayer, the Mass, sacraments, grace, even what the Gospels have to say about life today.
Join us for Theology on Tap now through August 5th at 40 parishes and colleges throughout Chicagoland. For details, visit yamchicago.org. That's yamchicago.org.
Let's get together for Theology on Tap.
Welcome back to Catholic School today. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz, and our guests are Margaret Laney, Manager of External Affairs for BP. And we have grant recipients Cheryl Tolish, Marcus McKinley, and Nancy Ramig. And also we have Dan Force, Director of Data and Research for the Office of Catholic Schools for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Margaret, a question for you. In your work with BP, which involves energy, why the tremendous interest of conserving energy, energy awareness and consciousness, when you are part of the energy group from BP?
Well, there's a number of issues here. One is that BP, and one thing that some folks might not know is that about 10 years ago, BP was the first company to come out and to say, in the energy industry, to say, we believe that there's an issue with global warming, and we think that there's something that we have to do to protect our future, to create a sustainable future. So we took a leadership role at that time. We're trying to, through education, we believe is we can provide resources to in this program in particular to teachers and to schools so that they can help to prepare the consumers of the future for making wise decisions, because so much of it is about the wise decisions that we make as individuals as well as companies. Right now, BP is focused on providing reliable energy resources for heat, light, and mobility to today's consumers. In addition, we're trying to make the products that we provide either cleaner burning so that there's not as much carbon or other emissions from those products, making them better, finding new ways to make them, having less pollution in our operations. And then finally, we believe that if we want to be a company that's around in the future, we need to be very concerned about the future of the environment. We need to create sustainable future for not only the environment, but for our economies. And there's we are also a leader. I guess one other thing I would just say is that we're also a leader, which a lot of people don't know, not only in the petroleum business, but also we're one of the leading companies in solar, wind, hydrogen, natural gas, and other renewable energies, and taking a leadership role in biofuels.
So what you're really saying is that as a company involved in energy and dealing with people, environment, global warming, you're really looking into the future and saying, this is our home. And I hate to say this, but, you know, being dead would be bad for business. That, you know, in terms of this is our home, and, you know, maybe go back to Marcus. As an environmentalist, this whole area of global warming that Margaret touched upon, which maybe triggered their whole response 10 years ago, what are you teaching or what's been the discussion with your young people regarding consciousness raising in the area of global warming?
Well, when we talk about global warming, we always talk about what is known in the scientific community. We like to talk about what's certain out there, that carbon dioxide levels have been going up, the temperatures have been going up, and maybe some of the issues that we're not too sure of, what's going to happen in the future. But the consequences of a warmer Earth and what could happen always sparks my students to say, why aren't we doing something about this right now? And from there, we take off and start talking about ways that they, as individuals, can start making a difference, whether it's changing to compact fluorescent light bulbs or increasing the insulation around their home or making choices in the products they purchase, like a more energy-efficient car. And exactly, I mean, we get down to the calculations here. how much of an impact is this going to make? And sometimes they're quite surprised that they themselves can make such an enormous impact.
See, I think one of the big things that sometimes hit me, people say, well, what difference can I make? I am one person. So, you know, if I change this in my house or do this in the car, whatever, what difference can I make? And I think what people forget is each one individually, then times 10, then times 1,000, can make a tremendous, tremendous impact. And for Cheryl or for Nancy, is this what you try to convey to our young people? That I think sometimes people, I don't care what age, they feel like, what difference can I make? And to say to them, you can make a profound difference.
Absolutely. One of the projects that our fourth graders will do in our grant program is to, again, do the home energy audit, but then use information to compare their energy output and their bills and their usage to other kids in their own class, and as well as kids across the country. And so they'll see, wow, you know, in my family, our bills are a lot higher. We use a lot more energy. What can we do? And I think sometimes by comparing yourself to other people, you know, you can say, oh, I should be doing a better job. I have a responsibility here and I can improve.
Nancy?
And I think for our students at the junior high level, they're eager to start to accept some of the responsibility of the teenage, young adult years. And they're looking for ways that they can make a difference. They get involved in community service projects. They're looking for things that they can make an impact upon in their world, in their community. And this is a wonderful opportunity that I commend BP for the fact that they've offered this to this community and given us an opportunity to make our students actively involved in their community.
And somehow to make a difference. Now for Nancy, Cheryl, and Marcus, you are in the classroom, which, God bless you. You know, teaching is a wonderful gift, but hard, hard work. What are some of the biggest obstacles you personally face in this area? And now I'm not talking about the young people going to church. That's a whole different topic and program in our faith. But somehow it is important to connect God, faith, environment, making a difference. What are some of the obstacles you have encountered in the classroom with young people responding to you like, oh, this is all garbage, who needs this, this is unnecessary? Have you any stories you want to share, or just day in and day out frustration? Because we can talk about the joys of life, but also the other side of the coin, the frustrations at home, at work. Anyone want to respond? Marcus.
There's some, and I'll agree with you, teaching can be a tough row at times.
Oh, yeah.
But there's something that keeps me going every day, and I'm sure my colleagues here will agree with me, is that you see these students get such inspiration from their faith. And when they see something that they feel is right and just, they jump into it with both feet. And at Fenwick, I've seen that over and over again. And when they make a connection with the environment that something has to be right here, that they want things to turn out right, that they want things to be just, that's fulfilling for me. But what's very difficult here is that these students are exposed to all different kinds of opinions. And sometimes I feel like what they are absorbing from the news or from reading articles, watching TV, listening to radio, sometimes that information isn't quite right. But it's being presented in a very good way and a very effective way. So trying to come back, bring them back and say, all right, well, let's take a look at this from a scientific standpoint. It's very difficult.
We're going to go to a break here on Catholic Schools Today. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz on Relevant Radio, 820 a.m. in Chicago, on this beautiful, warm, hot July summer Monday. Our phone number is 312-751-1979. Join in the conversation, maybe a question or comment regarding global warming, energy, conservation. Stay with us. We'll be back after a break.
Are you an active volunteer in your parish? Do you want to grow spiritually and deepen your faith and prayer life? Do you want to know more about the Bible, church doctrine and history, and about sacraments and liturgy? The Archdiocese of Chicago offers the Called and Gifted program for generous people like you. through weekly classes and monthly formation days, Called and Gifted helps parish volunteers become more effective parish ministers. You'll study at a site near you, forming friendships and deepening your faith. And each month, you'll attend a formation day of prayer and learning at a retreat center of stunning beauty. Over 1,500 volunteer ministers have found greater confidence for ministry through the Called and Gifted program. For more information about this wonderful opportunity for growth, call Sister Peg at 847-837-4555 or email layministry@usml.edu. Don't put it off. Call today.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 820 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 AM, the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio, 820 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
And welcome back to Catholic Schools Today. The time in Chicago is 9:31 on this Monday morning. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz. I'd like to do is announce the 8 winners from the Archdiocese of Chicago. The Catholic school winners, their schools are Jillian Houghton from Resurrection High School in Chicago, Beth Pollock, St. Barbara Elementary School in Chicago, Maureen Fallon, St. Scholastica Academy in Chicago, Joan Smigluski from St. Toribius Grammar School in Chicago. We already mentioned Cheryl Tolish from Infant Jesus of Prague School in Flossmoor, who's in studio with us. Fran Pellrine from Notre Dame High School for Boys in Niles. In the studio also with us is Marcus McKinley from Fenwick High School and Nancy Ramick of St. Michael's School, Grammar School in Orland Park. Congratulations to the 8 winners of the BP Award, totaling $70,000 in grant money. So to all 8, God bless and keep up the great work. Dan from the Archdiocese of Chicago Office of Catholic Schools with Data and Research. Maybe the question I would have is, why the partnership with BP or other entities in the Archdiocese of Chicago? What is the value and the goal?
Well, there's a lot of great value in our goal to become partners with organizations such as BP. Although we have been doing this for some time, I think over these past recent years, we have been doing this more. And I would think that the success of these schools with the BP program should be inspiration for many of our other schools to seek out such opportunities, such partnerships.
And Margaret Laney of BP, why work with the Archdiocese and our grammar schools and Catholic high schools in the Archdiocese? What advantage from the BP eyes?
Well, you know, many times programs like ours will go out to the public school system, and it's so very important to reach out to the private schools, to the archdiocese schools, and others, because these are issues that face energy issues and issues about the environment and conservation are issues that reach through all of us. And quite frankly, the archdiocese, this really does fit with what they're trying to get through, which is a protection and being good stewards of our earth, of what God's given us. And so for the Archdiocese schools, I think that there's even a special meaning and an opportunity to take it even further, these programs even further into the community.
And Marcus, as I mentioned earlier, that it was really through the gift of bird watching that I've come to a tremendous sensitivity to God's creation. And, you know, I don't know why I can just, even when I'm driving along, I'm looking at the hawks and all the birds of the year. I mean, I do keep my eyes on the road to a great degree, but in the work that you do as an environmentalist at Fenwick High School, how has this impacted your own personal faith?
Well, it's certainly strengthened it, because by dealing with my students, I get their perspective on things, and I see how important it is for them. I think it is that interaction that makes it even more important to me. Of course, I care for them very deeply, and so to see that is a very important part of their life and their faith life, too, just enriches my own.
How about for you, Nancy?
I think the students' excitement and love of nature, love of God, has strengthened my own appreciation of the world and the beauty of the gifts that we've been given. And we have a chance to give back to our community. And that's what our hope is to do at St. Michael.
Cheryl?
Well, I think that the simplicity and the passion that the children bring to these issues is an inspiration to me, because like most adults, I get caught up with all of the, well, we can't do it because of this and we can't do it because of that. And kids just say, well, why not? Let's just do it. And a lot of times we can do it. You know, and they remind me of that on a daily basis.
I think it's also interesting is we sometimes forget as adults the impact we play upon the lives of young people who are very impressionable. And who are their heroes? I think we've really lost a sense of heroes in our culture today. And there's no doubt in my life, especially with the love of parents, especially my mother toward priesthood, and watching other priests in my home parish, Mary Seat of Wisdom, and Notre Dame High School, had a great impact on my life to move toward priesthood, which of course is a call from God, but to respond to that. In your working with the young people, has any young person ever came up to you and said, because of the impact you have had on my life, I see maybe going into this whole area of energy, conservation, global warming. And what you're doing, you're planting seeds, which you will never see that tree come to total fruition. Any of your own personal stories of a young person? Nancy, you got your hand raised here.
I'm going to speak about my own family. I have a daughter who's working at the U of I on her PhD, and she had gone through St. Michael's School, and the junior high teacher that she had there, Gloria Walsh, who's no longer there, I'm in that position, and then the high school teacher she had at Mother Macaulay made such an impact upon her. She knew she wanted to, she's studying plant biology. And my son is at Creighton University, worked with Habitat for Humanity, hopefully going into medicine and pursuing that. So I've seen the impact of teachers making a difference on my own family.
I think the passion that you show, maybe we just do this, Margaret, a number of people can contact you at BP to learn more about this whole area.
Right. There's actually a website. It's called A-Plus for Energy. www.aplusforenergy.com, all spelled out. And so there's information there also at bp.com. We will be running the program again next year and be providing the applications probably about January. So we would tell teachers, look for the program, tell families and students even, tell your teachers about the program and encourage them to apply
now,
as well.
Now give us those two websites again.
It's www.bp.com and www.aplusforenergy.com. And again, no symbols or anything, all spelled out, aplusforenergy.com.
And Marcus, maybe a phone number of Fenwick if they wanted to contact you, just to maybe ask a question.
The phone number at Fenwick is 708-386-3052.
That number once again?
0127.
Let's try that again. Run that again. Okay.
708-386-0127 is the phone number, and our website is www.fenwickfriars.com.
Okay, and now Cheryl?
Okay, the phone number at Infant Jesus of Prague School is 708-799-5200. My extension is 341 if you want to direct anything to me. And I can't recall our website off the top of my head.
Oh, that's okay. Nancy?
At St. Michael's School in Orland Park, our phone number is 708-349-0068.
Well, I want to thank all of our guests here for being part of Catholic Schools today. I want to thank in a special way Margaret Laney, Manager of External Affairs of BP, Dan Force, Director of Data and Research for the Office of Catholic Schools in the Archdiocese of Chicago, and three of our aid grant recipients who are here today, Cheryl Tolish, Marcus McKinley, and Nancy Ramick. Congratulations and thank you for joining us here on Catholic Schools today. Stay with us. We'll be back after a break with part two of our program this morning, 312-751-1979. Do not touch that dial.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. Cardinal George says, "It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection." There are 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries willing to help you during times of loss. Call 708-449-6100 for assistance. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Do you know what's going on in your church around the corner or around the world? Do you want to hear stories about your faith? Do you want to help shape Catholic thought? If you said yes, subscribe to the Catholic New World, the newspaper for the people of the Archdiocese of Chicago. Call 312-655-7777 or visit us at catholicnewworld.com. The Catholic New World, a world beyond your church, a church beyond your world.
Hi, I'm Chuck Knapp. Join me for Searching the Word, a live interactive program that equips you with a firm understanding of the faith. Each day, we'll search the Bible, the Catechism, papal teaching, and historical writings for answers to questions about living Catholic life. That's Searching the Word every weekday on Relevant Radio.
That's Searching the Word with Chuck Neff. Weekdays at noon on Chicagoland's Relevant Radio, 820 AM.
And welcome back to Catholic Schools Today. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, pastor of St. Mary of the Woods, Chicago's Northwest Side. Our phone number, 312-751-1979, where normally today would have been Catholic Community Faith, always the second Monday of the month. It's Catholic Schools Today. And joining us by phone, we have Joe Marie Yankus, Principal of Resurrection College Preparatory High School on Chicago's Northwest Side. Good morning, Joe Marie.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Doing fine. You're really a neighbor because being over at St. Mary of the Woods, you're over there over by Talcott and Harlem, if I am correct.
You are exactly right. We're right across the street from Resurrection Hospital.
Right, exactly, and know the area well. And now you are joining us because Resurrection High School recently passed 13 seventh grade students into its first math initiative program. The 13 students who took Algebra 1 honors this past year will be enrolled at Resurrection during their eighth grade year in honors geometry. Wow.
Correct.
Resurrection will welcome 16 new 7th grade girls into the program to be enrolled in Algebra 1 Honors. And as principal of Resurrection High School, Joe Marie, you started the Math Initiative Program last year for 7th and 8th grade students who excel in math. How did you come up with this whole idea?
Actually, if many of you think about what you did when you were young, I know I, for one, went to high school when I was in eighth grade for Algebra 1. And
I did. And
did you do that as well?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
So it's, I hate to say it's not a new idea, but it's something that kind of was lost over the years. And in a meeting that I was with the Archdiocese, Marian Catholic School, which is on the south side, talked about this initiative that they were doing. They started a little bit earlier, and so I picked up that initiative and kind of ran with it. I spent an entire year talking to all the grade school principals in the areas and said, I want you to keep your programs in your grade schools now, but what I want is that bright light sixth grader that just is so far beyond everybody else, that one or two students, that's all I want. I'm not looking for, you know, I'm not looking to take the whole algebra class out of the grade schools at all. But we're looking for that bright light that ends up teaching the other students because they're just so far ahead of everyone else.
So you're going to have, this coming fall, 13 eighth graders enrolled at Resurrection High School taking geometry.
Right. They will. These students are dually enrolled. They are enrolled in grade school, and they will be generating a Resurrection High School transcript.
I mean, that's just amazing. But these are then young women who really excel in the area of math that in some ways they are moving forward, even though they might be presently in 7th or 8th grade. But also they also experience the high school campus.
Right. And we purposely are keeping them together as a group. So we are not mixing them with the high school students, although they come to school. They start their day, as the other high school students do, in the math wing, taking their classes. And this year we'll have two classes. We'll have seventh graders and eighth graders. So we started slowly. We started with seventh graders last year. Now those girls are moving up to eighth grade. And you know what's absolutely amazing is these young women are learning so much. Just and I think one of the reasons they're learning so well is because they're in a single gender situation where they can be themselves and be as bright as they want to be and have no challenges.
Now, as they go to Resurrection High School, how many days a week are they going to be coming to the school?
They come every day. They follow our calendar.
Okay, which means then how many hours per day are they at Resurrection High School and not back in their own grammar school?
They are in a 40-minute class just as they would be if they were in a high school classroom.
So which means they need to get to Resurrection High School. Is it the very start of the day when you begin?
Absolutely. It's the very first class. And I went around to the grade school principals and said, what's best for you? Because I wanted to make this work for the grade schools. And they said, first thing in the morning, get them early. So they arrive here about 20 to 8. Class starts at 7:45, and they stay for the 40-minute period.
So then again, they're out of Resurrection High School by about 8:30 in the morning and back to their own grammar schools.
Absolutely.
But does this impact their curriculum at the grammar school? Like, for example, at St. Mary of the Woods, our bell rings at 8:10 in the morning. So what type of an impact has it had back in the grammar schools?
Well, for some of the grammar school, some of the principals have changed their schedules and offered math first thing in the morning for the grade schools, the 7th and 8th graders, so that the girls who are here are out of a math class that's there. Some of the principals, like one principal said to me, she said, Joe, I believe in this so much, but we teach religion first thing in the morning, so I, even if I have to teach these girls religion myself, I will do it so that they can come to Resurrection and get that math class.
Now, in talking with some of the young people, Joe Marie, who are actually in the program, what have these young girls said to you?
They are so excited to be here. They love it. We had a little graduation for them at the end of the year to kind of let them know that they're our first group that's run through. And we said, you know, some other girls wanted to join them, and they said, no, we are ourselves. We are a group. So they're very well bonded, and they come. Last year's class came from three schools, St. Juliana's, St. Monica's, and Immaculate Conception. This year's 16 seventh graders will be coming from more schools, so a bigger variety, and for the first time we have a public school sector coming.
So you do have a public school sector that will be coming in, and so it seems to be growing. And the other thing is this becomes great PR for Resurrection High School because you have these young ladies experiencing the high school campus while still in junior high and not looking from a distance, but being in a classroom. Now, they're together with their fellow classmates, but taking a math class.
Absolutely. And they see the technology that we have. They see the other, you know, they're walking the halls with the other girls, and yet they are their own entity.
I mean, it just blows my mind that you have eighth graders taking geometry. I took geometry as a sophomore at Notre Dame. And I always remember the Brother Thomas, by the grace of God, passed me. to this day, I can't figure out geometry. I actually like math and numbers, but geometry would always just went way over my head. We're going to take a break here. We are visiting with Joe Marie Yonkis, principal of Resurrection College Preparatory High School in Chicago's Northwest Side, regarding a new math initiative program. Our number is 312-751-1979 here on Relevant Radio, 820 AM in Chicago. Stay with us. We'll be back after a break.
want to serve the church as a lay parish minister? Do you possess the gifts and passion for full-time church ministry? Today, lay women and men are being called to join clergy and religious and serve the church as pastoral associates and directors of religious education. Perhaps you are one of those people. To serve, you need spiritual formation and academic training. And the Archdiocesan Together in God Service program provides you both. Qualified candidates receive partial tuition scholarships and pursue a master's degree in ministry at one of Chicago's Catholic theological schools. But Together in God Service also provides retreats and prayer experiences to help you grow spiritually and deepen your love of God. If you want to explore a calling to lay ecclesial ministry, talk to your pastor and talk to us by calling 847-837-4552 or send an email to layministry@usml.edu.
Welcome to Mission Chicago 2007 as we celebrate the theme of spirituality. Evening missions are taking place throughout the Archdiocese in both English and Spanish. Spirituality themes include the meaning of being created in the image and likeness of God, exploring our potential for growth in Christ, and the spirituality of African-American music and song. These are single evening missions, and there is no cost. Find out when and where by going to www.missionchicago.net. That's www.missionchicago.net. It's Mission Chicago 2007, the year of spirituality. Accept this mission. The rewards are everlasting.
Good morning. Welcome back to Catholic Schools Today. Time in Chicago is coming up on 9:52 on this very hot Monday in Chicago. And with us as guest is Jo Marie Yankus, principal of Resurrection High School, who started the math initiative program for 7th and 8th graders from different grammar schools into Resurrection High School. Jo Marie, question that came to me during the break is this whole connecting with the different grammar schools. What have you learned regarding this whole partnership?
Well, I think articulation between the grammar schools and the high schools is absolutely imperative. It's so important for us to be able to talk back and forth, help each other. The Archdiocese has created some wonderful frameworks for curriculum. And what's great about it is that this framework goes from grade school all the way through high school. So you can see the threads that go through this curriculum, and we know what we're getting when the students come from the grade schools, and they know in the grade schools what the girls need for high school. So it's really wonderful. We do a math contest in the fall where we invite the math teachers to come to Resurrection with the students, and then we do a little articulation and a teaching between. I also belong to a group that's called CAN, and that group has been meeting to really build the transition between grade school and high school in all areas. Mostly we started with math, and then we've moved to science.
Jo Marie, say more about the whole thing of the threads through the curriculum across the whole board. I like that phrase.
Well, you know, if the grade school teachers know the language and the topics and the things that the skills that the students need in order to finish up what they're doing there and build and walk across that bridge to the high school, then the students are better prepared. And if the high school teachers can understand better what the grade school teachers are teaching, then again, that's that thread that runs and connects the two and bridges the gap between grade school and high school, so there is no gap.
Has there ever been thought given to broadening this whole thing beyond math at Resurrection High School, or you just take it one subject at a time?
Oh, I will tell you, some of my department chairs are really gnawing at the edges, trying to think about. I know our English department is thinking, wow, would this be a great thing to do in the English department? So this is just the beginning. We really don't know where this will take us, but we know that we want to build our math curriculum. We're going to be putting AP statistics in the senior year, which is something we've never been able to offer. But because these students will come in so well prepared, they're going to take calculus as juniors and then AP statistics as seniors.
Now, go ahead, Jo Marie.
Well, with such a data-based accountability society that we live in today, if these girls don't have AP statistics before they leave me, they're not going to be ready for where I'm sending them.
Now, in the great job you have done, anytime you're coming up with a brand new program, and it's always sometimes like what we call like a rocky road to see the finish line, what have been some of the obstacles that you experienced and encountered to get to the point where you are today?
Always the difficulties of scheduling. And but we're very clear in the beginning. We have said to people, the students will follow the res schedule. So when we're in class, they're in class. And if we aren't in class, they aren't here. And if they're off in grade schools, but we are on, they have to be here. And that's they've been very committed to do that.
So hold the time out. If they are off in their particular grammar school and Resurrection High School is open, they will be at Resurrection.
Absolutely. For the 40-minute class that they're here. And I was worried about transportation, and we have buses at Resurrection. So I offered buses to pick up the students, but the parents have been wonderful. They have carpooled, and they get the girls here, and then they pick them up and take them back to their grade schools. So I didn't have to give the transportation, which I thought was going to be another obstacle for us as well.
Well, I think it's amazing when you have a 7th grader or 8th grader actually on the campus of Resurrection High School. I remember when I was coming out of Mary C. the Wisdom Grammar School in Park Ridge as an 8th grader, the first time I set foot into Notre Dame High School, Loyola Academy, and Maine South was for their test.
Right.
And this is going back to like 1966 or 67. And I have to say I was overwhelmed.
Right.
I was, for the day of the testing, to walk into Notre Dame High School compared to a grammar school just by way of size, it just overwhelmed me. So when you have these young girls, these young ladies, set foot into Resurrection, and not as observers, but taking a class, advanced class in this whole area, by the time they hit the ground in high school, they're off and running.
Absolutely. And they, you know, the important thing is to take these girls to their potential. And part of potential is not only their intellect, but their self-confidence.
That's a big part of it, especially among the life of a teenager,
absolutely,
of an adolescent.
Yeah, and young women in the area of mathematics. I mean, I'm the principal of Resurrection High School, but my first love was always mathematics. I was first a math teacher, and I was one of the few women in many of the classes that I was in, especially in graduate school, because I was a woman in what was normally looked at as a man's world, and it doesn't have to be that way.
What's interesting that we talk about academic excellence is a hallmark of Chicago Catholic schools in the Archdiocese of Chicago, and this program that you have initiated and is off and running is just another expression of that. You know, for our listeners, Jo Marie, can you give us a phone number and website for people to contact you or Resurrection?
Certainly. My phone number at Resurrection is 773-775-6616.
That number once again.
773-775-6616.
And a website?
Our website is www.reshs.org.
Once again on that.
That's www.reshs.org.
Well, Jo Marie Yonkus, principal of Resurrection College Preparatory High School in Chicago's Northwest Side, who started the Math Initiative Program last year for 7th and 8th graders. We want to thank you for joining us here on Catholic Schools Today. Special thank you to our producer, Ryan Blackburn, along with Jasmine Quiros, and our engineer, Michael May, again, for an outstanding work for Catholic Schools Today. To our listeners, thank you for joining us. God bless, and have a wonderful week.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 820 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.